You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. It is another episode of Gunapod TT. This is your boy Dion, and I'm here as always with none other than Keegan Bowen. Keegan, say what's up, man.
What's up, Gunas? Hey, nah. Man, fighting, man. I excited. Let me enjoy my side being on top of the table.
We fighting, boy.
Saying the car wait for me to fall and take.
We're back on top.
Back on top.
Yeah, come on, catch us if you can. You probably can, but still, you gotta catch me. Yo, it's exciting times. We're exciting times at Arsenal Football Club. Man, I don't even know where to start, but it's feeling so uncommon to be like 6 games into the season. 6 or 7. I believe it's 6 games. Actually, 7 games into the season. 7 games played and 6 wins, 1 loss. 18 points, 1 point ahead of teams like City and Tottenham. And it's looking really, 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 really great. It's a weird position to be in. I feel like normally around this time of the season is right where we start to figure out some wins, we figure out some losses. But we only had 1 loss, which was, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. I think that's one of them things they just don't talk about, push it back ahead.
Yeah.
You know, forget about it. Yeah. But we've been playing well, and if it's one thing I could say, almost every game of football I've seen thus far is good football. I haven't seen anything that was like, oh my god, this is so boring. And you know, considering like where the creative spark is gonna come from,
yeah,
it's kind of like, yo, we playing exciting football from kickoff. Even if it will have its slow spells, its fast spells, I mean, it's not like you can't see what's gonna happen.
Yeah, the intensity, you know, is there, and the brand is there as well, because you play a really good brand of football, and the intensity is there, the work rate is there, the fight is here, the desire is there, and you really can't ask so much more from the boys and them.
Yeah, of course. So I mean, when we took our last episode, we came off against the loss against Manchester United. We had the games against Zurich, PSV, Everton and Brentford ahead, and obviously since then we've only had 2 games.
Yeah.
And those obviously were due to the death of Queen Elizabeth II.
They got the news during the Zurich game, right?
During the Zurich game, yeah, correct.
And they did
she would have died that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the
halftime they did a minute silence, I think.
Okay. I've been trying to like see full games, but right. I think I saw like the first half, so I didn't get up on the second half to see the tribute.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting times, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially given the fact that not the club but football on the whole just had like it's like a very, very tight, very intense schedule given the World Cup coming up in November. And it's kind of like, you know, how you're going to postpone the games, but at the same time, you have to, right? Just one weekend out of difference, and then the game against PSV is just like, there's not enough police in London, basically, because of what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
So we understand, it's just that I worry about the legs of the guys. And, you know, I think this is an important time in the season where man management really comes in. You're trying to keep your wins going, but you're trying to avoid key players going down for long.
So, to be fair, like, in the last game we played, like, finally, Arteta started to take off, man, like, with 15 minutes to go and thing.
Yeah.
Because I've seen before we were winning 3-3, and he running men down to the ground still.
Yeah, you do business.
Saka, which is the prime candidate, you know.
Yeah, you do business. Run.
But in this game, last game we played, I really find like he, you know, that was good that he took players off to preserve them, you know.
And even better, I feel like, what's better about taking players off is that we went to restore ourselves as having the youngest player in the Premier League, right? Can I remember at that point Fabregas was the youngest player.
Yeah.
And I think he was the youngest captain.
Yeah.
So I feel like we want to back that record. I haven't seen much, but big shout out to Ethan Nwaneri.
I can't pronounce it.
Nwaneri, I think it is.
Yeah. But he doesn't look 15 though.
But he looks like
25 though.
No, don't do the dog.
Man built different.
Do Ethan. I mean, probably
not 25, but not
15. I didn't see his full second half of this game, so I didn't see when he came on.
He got like one touch.
Yeah, I didn't see when he came on, but I saw his face. The man had a baby face, though. Like, he looked like 15.
Yeah, but his frame is not a baby frame, though. My big boy.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily say that. That's good. So, yeah. Let's touch on the Zurich game. A 2-1 win.
Yeah. This game had my preferred back four, minus Holden.
Yeah, we had Gabriel, Holden, Tommy, Tierney.
Because I find it really difficult right now to drop Ben White. Ben White hasn't been playing very good, but you can't really drop Gabriel, and then you can't drop Saliba.
Well,
so.
Remember we was talking about the fact that if it had a man to get dropped from the back line,
it
would have been Gabriel.
But
and I told you, like, hey, if Gabriel plays in that Zurich game, more than likely, he looking to get dropped for the weekend.
Yeah.
But obviously, that weekend game didn't come.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was kind of like back in the team.
Yeah, I think
for the
he
next
picked
one.
Up in training because the fruit showed in the last game he played.
Yeah, he looks more assured of himself. Yeah. I feel like he's a player. He give him the vibe where like he, you can just slot him into any partnership. Like I think he kind of been building his vibe and know like what to do as he have Saliba with him, how to operate.
Yeah.
Because he would have played the entire season with Ben White
before.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, getting accustomed. And I think most of his shaky moments last season would have been when Holden wasn't there with him, when Ben White was unavailable with COVID and so on. So, I mean, he is a man. He's a good centre-back. And I think that once he has the comfortability with the pairing, he does well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have no doubts. I just wish that we would have a centre-back that is more plug-and-play, like, no matter what the situation, you need to change things up. You're not gonna, you know, need that sort of. You know, sometimes in the middle of the game, you have to do something drastic and you make a change. Yeah. I'm nitpicking. I'm being very nitpicky. Gabriel is definitely playing very well.
Since that improved, and now it's giving me a vibe of he's a player that's go through spells.
Okay.
So you'd have good spells and bad spells. And, I wouldn't say bad spells, I would say not so good spells, because his not so good spells still better than some of the good spells of the defenders we had in the past, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
definitely. Back when we were joining David Luiz and Mustafi.
Yeah, that's failure. So,
I brought up bad memories, bro.
I think he just needs to continue playing at the level we know he could play at, and he should be fine. Right? Turner looks a little bit better in this game. Still not. I don't think he looks good enough to push Ramsdale just yet, but much better than the game in the preseason that I saw him play.
Yeah, I think Turner is like watching him play is like I hope nothing happens to Ramsdale.
Yeah, I feel anxious with him when he goes. Like.
Yeah, watching him play because I'm not seeing the shot stopping ability so much.
Yeah.
And I definitely not seeing the distribution ability. Like, this is an extremely raw goalkeeper. First to bring in somebody playing in the MLS where the competition obviously is not there.
Yeah.
So, and to say he's a raw goalkeeper at the age of 28 is interesting.
28, he should be 28. If he's 28 and that's how he's playing, We are going to keep on again next season.
Well, I mean, remember the would say keepers now coming into the owner.
So what are you going to say about Ramsdale? Ramsdale's only 24 or something.
Well, Ramsdale only getting better, bro.
That's how
only getting better, bro.
We'll definitely need to add new backup soon. So we can push Ramsdale.
Well, we'll see. I think they probably want to see what happens with how you pronounce his name? Okonkwo.
Oh.
Or with the young keeper we have as well, Carl Hein. You know, you never know.
You see, like, goalkeepers coming up from the academy. I don't think I've seen that in football.
Well, I mean, the last goalkeeper we had come up from the academy was Chesney. So, okay, it's not far-fetched that we'll have goalkeepers coming up from the academy be good. The question mark is whether we're going to have goalkeepers coming up from the academy that's good enough to be backup quality and be content to be backup quality. Because what we expect from backup quality is a goalkeeper that could go and start in any other Premier League team barring the top, I would say the top half, right?
Yeah.
And probably pushing to get into the top half. And well, at the end of the day, these goalkeepers going to make it to their international teams by playing more football. You're not gonna, unless you're playing for Paraguay or you're playing for Faroe Islands, or you're playing for one of those small teams where, like, you know, it's few and far between, you know, you need more game time to convince. I think Martinez was a good example. I think he would have been, like, on the real fringe of Argentina's football team.
Yeah.
He started getting more games. He was in immediately. So you need the game time, because the coach is not going to be able to... No national team coach not coming your training.
Yeah.
You understand?
They will be by the games.
Exactly.
Kind of like what Arteta tells people when they go on loan. He say, I'm not going to watch you playing a partner.
Yeah.
I just want to hear what's you.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand?
So that's how it goes.
I really want to... You gotta make sure too that the things he hears is good things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
You know the way Gwendozy and them and...
let me touch more on the team now. I want to touch
on Lokonga, because I want to say big up to Lokonga. He's in a sticky situation because midfield is a position where, similar to defense, where you can't really make too much mistakes.
Right.
And then much is expected of you in the midfield, right? You have like about four key points you had to play. You had to play in the attack, you had to play in the defense, you had to play in transition. And you had a good movement off the ball. So it's like, if you had to touch all them bases as a midfielder, and if you're lacking in anyone, people go and say, ooh, you're not ready.
And I feel bad for Lokonga in our way.
He's not a number six, but this is where he have the opening in the team, and I feel he need to stamp his authority when he get the chance. You understand? Yeah. Unlike in preseason, when he was playing as a number eight, he looked really good.
Yeah.
But now... Right now, that number eight is the Xhaka spot.
Yeah, and I feel bad for him because I see him... basically, the club sees him like the party backup, you know?
That's not true.
And party does make Lokonga football look easy. Lokonga closer to
Pogba. Okay. I'm not saying in terms of his skill level, but in terms of play style. Now.
I understand. I just pull in your leg a little bit. I feel a bit sorry for him in a way because Xhaka not getting dropped, right? It's impossible.
Right.
So when you're coming into the team, because he's not a number 10, if he was a number 10, there's no way he was coming into the team. Yeah, man, like Emil Fabio, who's
now he'd get sweat as a number 10, because as the number 10, they could still kind of put you on the wing and thing.
But what I'm saying is, is a plethora of options. There's like four players we have for there now, boy. So that's rough for him to even guess what. So you have to play like that. Like, we want you to play more than El Nini, but I mean, you had to show something solid so that you could play more than El Nini, you know. I feel bad for him in that light, but I believe that he is very promising. And I wish that Arteta would, just like how Partey does cover Xhaka a lot, so Xhaka could go play that free 8, go be that basically a number 10 sometimes. Yeah. I feel like Lokonga in that role would flourish as well.
Yeah, I think Lokonga will be
at the end of the day. If you could trust Partey to really anchor your midfield and you could trust you the rest of your back line, why not give the young? Anyway, I feel like I'll be repeating myself with this boy all the time. So, because you could give the young player the opportunity rather than run out Xhaka, but I mean, I feel like now my voice is starting to turn into the minority at Granit Xhaka, but yeah. I'll give it time.
Don't worry, but you see, like, because of Partey injury and any injury, Lokonga forced to play the six right now.
Yeah,
and I feel he should just stamp his authority similar to when Saka had to play left back.
Yeah,
you know, until you get the chance to play in your rightful position. Xhaka in this game was Xhaka, and I mean, you don't really have much to say about him. He just go about and do Xhaka things. Fabio, you could see he had no preseason with Vieira. So even in this game,
yeah, coming off the injury, yeah.
You're seeing hints of his quality, but also seeing where, bro, even on the, like, he absent, like, he was going missing sometimes, right. And then he, you see the quality, then he go missing, and you see the quality. He wouldn't last long in a Teta team with that. Yeah, had to be up front and present a little more for my part.
Yeah, for sure. Let me talk about the star boy now.
Marquinhos.
Yeah. The bits and pieces I saw of this game, Marquinhos look so exciting, boy.
Yeah.
Like, he had a great game. I mean, goal and assist for him.
Yeah.
Goal and assist for Nketiah. And, I mean, two good games from both players, I would say.
Yeah.
But Marquinhos, that ball he put for Nketiah was...
He was doing that whole game, like, quality.
Yeah, whole game, but the quality. Man, I mean, shout out to Edu, boy. Edu just bring these Brazilian men. I mean, the last Brazilian we brought was Gabriel Martinelli. You know,
I don't want, to be honest, bro, I don't want Arsenal to become Brazil FC, dog.
I don't wait to become Brazil FC either, but I mean, if the players are Gabriel Magalhães, Gabriel Martinelli, Marquinhos, Gabriel Jesus, I mean, all we need is a Casemiro type, you know. And we don't even need a Casemiro type because we are Partey, you know what I mean?
And then we whole side going for the World Cup.
But look at how they downrate us. Like, we playing the best football in the Premier League to this point, and not a single one of our Brazilian players were picked for the friendlies. Now even he's so scared, call.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that, and I think it's very early in the competition.
Nah, definitely. I mean, it's just friendlies.
I think the manager of the national team wants to properly explore his options.
Yeah,
because of the Olympics, everybody know what Martinelli
can. Olympics.
Yeah.
The World Cup.
The Olympics, boy. It was the Olympics. What a play in the other day, I mean.
Oh, with Martinelli. You're talking about the pass. I thought you were talking about upcoming.
The pass. Martinelli and this fellow, man, you buy. Have you seen
him?
Anthony. This was the Olympic team, right?
Yeah,
man. You're a causer. So, everybody know what Martinelli could do already. They're familiar with Jesus.
And Gabriel actually played in the Olympics.
Magalhães has got a call up before already.
Yeah.
So I feel like the manager knows already these guys, and he wants to kind of explore his options thoroughly before he settle.
I mean, you see that, but men like Anthony get called up. You know what I mean? I think Fred. Whatever. And I really beaten up. I'm not mad that I wasn't picked. Given the fixture congestion, I just glad, you know, some of the top players not going. And that might also give them some fire, like, oh, he pick, man. I had to make it for the World Cup, you know what I mean? Like, we could actually, you know, see these men.
For me, I have no doubt that Gabriel, Jesus, and Martinelli making that squad.
I could see Gabriel Magalhães make it over Martinelli, simply because... Besides Marquinhos, as a Brazilian defender, I know no other center backs for Brazil.
Like popular, known defenders?
Yeah, like I know no other. Like, obviously, I'm not saying they don't have none. But, like. Yeah,
but who is Brazil's left back, left wing?
Left wing?
Yeah.
Anthony. That Vinicius. They might probably play Vinicius all day.
Right.
That Anthony.
Anthony's playing the right.
Right. Who else they have?
Martelli had to make that squad.
I'm not saying he can't, you know. I'm just saying, you know, bro, like, there's not like they do have players, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, but especially in the center back department, I really think they lack.
They could do with Magalhães.
Yeah, I think so. And if Gabriel continues to perform in the way that he does, think about it. What Brazilian center back you know? You understand what I'm saying?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much. I have no idea. They running like, oh my gosh. Like
what Brazilian defenders?
Real Madrid fans will get mad by it. At this man by Edam Militao.
I don't watch him, but
he's actually a decent player. I think they still have like people like Thiago Silva around.
Yeah.
But besides those three names, like I honestly don't know it. I do think it have a way in which he doesn't get the call up. It makes sense to have him on the squad. But anyway, let's talk about the game. We haven't spoken about the game. Good game, all things considered, good win. As disappointed that we gave away the penalty, but it was kind of like unavoidable, I would say. Mm-hmm. Just the bounce of the ball,
because the man came from Nketiah's blind side, so Nketiah didn't see him. And when Nketiah swung to reach the ball, and the man cut across in front of Nketiah, and Nketiah made contact with him.
Yeah,
I understand that is a foul, except there's a foul, but I feel like those kind of fouls unfair.
yeah. Honestly, I accepted that it was a foul. The good thing was like that kind of foul occurred in a real pivotal game against like a harder team would have been like, ooh, you know. But in a sense, I was like, nah, we had this in the bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And well, Nketiah was able to go ahead and still score.
Yeah.
And yeah. All in all, I think a good team performance throughout. And then obviously we would have had two games off, and we could jump straight into the Brighton game. Same Premier League lineup basically, unchanged. I would say besides for Fabio coming in.
The Brentford game.
Yeah, the Brentford game. What's it?
Brighton.
Oh my bad. My bad. Brentford.
I was like, when you play Brighton?
Yeah, my bad. I meant Brentford. Yeah. This is, I wouldn't say it's my preferred lineup, because I want to see Ben White not play right back.
But Tomiyasu.
But I don't know. I want to see Tomiyasu play it because I think he's just more tactically familiar with the place.
Yeah, he's very very dynamic.
White, yeah, and Ben White shows me that he know how to play the role, but not consistently. I think on the defensive side of things, yeah, I could trust him, but I mean, the right back needs you to either be inverted or overlapping, you know what I mean?
I think he's playing consistently well, and I would even go as far as to say he's gradually getting better at the right back in the attacking sense. But defensively, he's like exceptionally good, you know, in defense. Like, it's like,
yeah, he's
nothing coming on that side of the field.
You remember, man was like, this is a mistake. Like, even after the man would have like one bad game, and man was like, Arsenal's biggest mistake. And it's like,
bro, tell me what's goal score coming on that side of the defense? Nothing. Not a goal score coming on. All the goals that we get back this season.
And all men
on the next side.
And all men could focus on is the fact that, unfortunately, whenever like our attack breaks down. Yeah. So when like our attack breaks down, he would usually be the last one. So if anything embarrassing happened, you know, he might be the man like, oh.
He's handled it well. He's cleaned up everything.
Nah, he's a good
all
defender.
All the goals that we get come down Zinchenko side, dog.
Yeah. And that, I mean,
and everybody was Zinchenko to start. I hear men saying that Tini is the backup. Well,
that's madness. That's craziness. That's really, because, I mean, we have already said, I already know what my FIFA lineup is, you know what I mean? Gabriel coming out. I will put White and Saliba, Tomiyasu, Tierney on my left, and I have Zinchenko next to party.
Yeah.
And the front four decided it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so men
Martinelli, Suso, they got Saka.
That's men, I don't understand, man. As I understand, against the weaker teams, I want to see Zinchenko play because, you know, he really good positionally and he could help pass.
Yeah.
But see, against the teams where he actually defend, put Tierney in my left back.
Yeah, and my thing about it is, even with Zinchenko in the mid.
That man your game, dog.
Yeah, but even with him in the mid, like, he has some sort of defensive qualities that I'm not worried about him in the midfielder position, but he has so much more to give as a midfielder, bro.
Yeah.
But you could see, like, because many times it's like, when I'm watching him play, it's like, ooh, Xhaka is left back now. You know, because Zinchenko playing that inside, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the man is, I want to say, if we could reach like a fully fit place, I believe that Arteta may try it and should try it.
Yeah, because Zinchenko plays midfield for his country.
But I don't know if he wants to, based on the fact that Tierney has the injury worry all the time. But you know?
I think they're rotating it well. And
yeah, they're handling it well for sure.
Get injured recently. And
who was injured?
Zinchenko.
Yeah, right. Correct. Exactly. Imagine the two left boxes, men might just be in and out of the squad with injury, bro. Like, as soon as Zinchenko back to you, pull up something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That'd be crazy for real. But that'd be cool, too. It's like, hey, you know, Eli, you're worried a bit on the defensive side with Zinchenko. But you're worried a bit on the attacking side with Tierney. And not that much, either.
I'm not even worried about the attacking with Tierney, you know. It's just about the role.
Yeah, for sure. So
Tierney plays the overlapping fullback.
Yeah, perfectly. That's all he could play.
But he struggles a bit to play the inverted fullback role.
Struggles a bit.
Zinchenko excels in that inverted fullback. So locally, it had this joke we just make with men, right? Like, when they try to do something that you know they're not really good at on the field, they say, "That ain't come with your package."
Yeah,
you understand? I feel like with Zinchenko's package, playing in the midfield better suits them than playing left back.
For sure. I believe that. And I believe that the best 11 is going to come with Tierney at left back.
Yeah.
Zinchenko in that mid. And just the mere fact that Zinchenko is such a strong left-sided player. Yeah. He could just fall into that left back role if Tierney overlaps.
Sake, yeah.
And, you know, you just get all sorts of combinations that could happen.
Yeah.
You know? But let me touch on the goals. Don't shout into the microphone, but great goal from William Saliba, boy.
Saliba!
He trying not to shout.
Saliba!
Listen, watching Saliba play makes me wonder if he really needed that yellow in Marseille.
He definitely needed it, bro. Definitely.
I watching him play and I believe I'd have loved to watch him grow at Arsenal. But at the same time, watching him be like this almost...
We are going to watch him grow. He has plenty to learn still.
He still has plenty to learn, but watching him almost be like touching close to that finished product. Like, at that time, so you had to watch Saka be raw and figure it out and actually make it to the top. And that sort of thing is like is exciting for me as a football fan, right? Because I want to see these men... push yourself now. Go through the growing pains and push yourself to get in the team.
Yeah, but now as I said, it's fun. We get back up. I glad you went Marseille and take all the bag.
I'm not mad. I just saying that, but part of it is like, part of it for me as a fan is like saying, I believe in this man. That he gonna make it. And you know, putting some money like film in a way. But at the same time, like, I'm not mad because I think those two loans, did he go to Marseille twice?
No, he went back to his original club.
He went back to Lorient.
Can't remember his original club right now.
I don't remember where he was.
And then he went to Marseille after.
But, I mean, such a brilliant player, but the man fits in like if, you know, he was always there. And, what I love to see about Saliba so far is how well integrated he is with the team. Given the fact that, like, before he came back, there was all sorts of questions like, yo... Is he going to, what is he looking for? Is he going to
adapt to the Premier League? I don't know.
I wouldn't say adapt on it. Remember before he came back there, he was always in the news like, I want to leave or that kind of talk now.
But that was in newspapers looking for headlines. Though.
But that's saying to, but watching him come on, hit up the badge and being such, in being so enthralled with the club, like even though you were here and things like you wasn't sure, I would say. Feel coming back and seeing him ingratiate himself so well is encouraging, bro.
I didn't care too much about he. I was just saying to myself, I hope Arsenal don't mess this up because they know they can mess up things.
Yeah.
You understand?
No, but it's crazy that we bought him, sent him on loan, brought him back, sent him on loan, and then brought him back and sent him on three successive loans, back to Saint-Étienne, one to Nice, and one to Marseille. So this is his fourth year as Arsenal player. We bought him in 2019.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's 2021, 2021. But this is his fourth year as Arsenal player.
Right now they're working out his contract, him and Saka.
Yeah, well, they need to get that sorted.
They say they mustn't talk about people's salary, right? But I think Saka making about either 30 or 50 mil.
Mil? A mil.
Thousand.
I want to be Bukayo. 30 mil?
How much you think that both of them deserve, given their current form?
I'm not going to pay them based on the current form. Crazy. That would not... Because... You have to be realistic in how you like. If you pay them on their current form, right? Let me say they looking to say on current form, not Saliba or Saka, right? Mm-hmm. Saka have the Ice England star boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As Arsenal ambassador fun.
Yeah.
I was chosen to take the deciding penalty kick in the World Cup.
Yeah.
The Euros, sorry. Saka sure calling somewhere near like 150, 160, 180 maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they just kind of give him that pay rise if he's actually on that little bit, as you're saying.
Yeah.
And then too, it will come, them men not signing nothing longer than 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're not signing no long contracts.
Yeah.
So... I think you're looking to go. If he is on like, I think he's on like about 60. I'm not sure. But I think you give him somewhere between 120 to 150.
Yeah, so for
because
me.
Because you don't want in, not the second contract, but the third one, once we could successfully keep him, you don't want you paying this man $300,000 per week.
Yeah, I was thinking 80 for Saliba and 110 for Saka.
Yeah, I think Saka will get more than 110 for certain. Based upon the current contracts at the club, I think whatever Emil signed for, he will get more.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely you get more, but I don't think he coming close to the other guy and party level money. He ain't coming close to that, but I think about 120, 150, somewhere there. Saliba, the 80 sounds good for me, for certain. But if it's hard to keep him, I don't see them pushing past 120 for him. But
I feel like too much too soon.
But that would be a lot for him.
I feel like too much too soon. I feel like
80. But I would say a cap it at 110. Or as you say, 88 incentives. We ain't talking about the game, man. Like, we want to talk about games today. We are all kind of talking about.
No, you know, there's only two games that I talk about. So,
yeah.
You know, we could still kind of touch on other things and come back.
Easy flow. Yeah. So
finally, the Xhaka party midfield is back. And they didn't disappoint me at all.
Finally, the Xhaka party. Well,
we mean?
I am glad to see Thomas Partey back. Because, as I'll always say, Partey could cover a multitude of sins. And Granit Xhaka is a multitude of sins.
Nah. I would say he's a sinner.
I think that Partey allows Xhaka to be up the field.
And not just Xhaka, the whole
everybody,
team
everybody
feels more calm and settled than Partey's.
Yeah, the man is... The man, we, the man like, is coming. He's going to be like, don't worry, I'm here.
We feel invincible.
No, it's crazy.
Well, party starts.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we watch in our game and we see all 10 players of the field and party just by the halfway line by himself. And they just bring the ball back to him and he was like, eh, all it could be up there. Yeah. I don't need help.
You see, Partey and Saliba, those two players so calm on the ball.
But, you know, I do understand about Partey. You know, I do understand about Partey. He seems to, his positioning is insane.
Yeah.
Partey is not quick. As in, like, exceptionally, like, Saka blitz speed. But the man always there, boy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And if he not there, more than likely, a man getting choked up with the ball. In a few moments, he's there, boy. Like, the man, the strike. Oh, my God,
that is why all midfield is so good with both of them. Because you see Xhaka and Partey, they both have very good positional awareness, yo. Them men have real good
Xhaka had good positional awareness,
yeah, yeah, right? Definitely. That midfielder's never be open when he in it.
The midfielder ever be open when Xhaka in it?
It's no I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the old Xhaka.
You hearing yourself?
Yeah.
No, you. I don't get your headphones. You can't be hearing yourself. No, listen. I think Xhaka has good positional awareness, but to say to me, I think he knows where he should be. My problem with Xhaka is players break down, and if he's in an advanced place, he's not coming back.
Now he can cover that ground. You know, it's and so legs to cover that ground to make.
So to say that he is great at positional awareness, I think positional awareness on the offensive side, definitely, because. I mean, you look at the assist that he gave to
Jesus.
Brilliant stuff, boy. Like, I saw that and I was like, do I have to start hating this man? And the answer is no. But, you know, it was good stuff. And I think that giving him that rule where you basically Arsenal on the attack, yeah, Martinelli, Jesus, Fabio, or Odegaard, or Saka. You know what I mean? You had those players running at you. Who taking on Granit Xhaka? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody not studying Granit.
But you had to look at it as well as, like, when you look at the games where he doesn't play,
yeah,
that's when you just actually see how much he just do.
But, and so my question is, what games doesn't he play?
That's also true.
So, you can't even be like, to say, like, I don't even get that opportunity to say, I could see what he brings the team in the absence of him, because once Granit Xhaka is fit, and he's almost always fit, he plays.
Somebody said it the other day that that is like a, if that was a,
like he have an Iron Man trait. He does have an Iron Man trait, and he has the coach whisperer trait. You know what I mean?
Always fit.
He's any team. Any team is crazy. You understand? So that's all I had to add there, boy, with him. But I'm glad that I think that definitely he has found the midfield partnership that he needs at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Where he could flourish.
I just hope that
and help
I just
team.
Hope that he could break the blight this season, though, because Arsenal never finished top four since any team, I think.
Well, hopefully, yeah. But at the end of the day, I think he is not a ceiling raising type of player. He's a good floor. So when Arsenal doesn't have the ceiling raising type players on the field, I think we're gonna struggle. But we have a lot of ceiling raising type players on the field.
Yeah, and so, one of them is the new sensation who filled in for Martin Odegaard.
Yeah.
Fabio Vieira, he was a steal, dog. The man had 14 assists last season.
Yeah, Fabio, I'm not sure how to feel about him in this game.
He's still acclimatizing. So
because I would say that when I looked at the game, I was really wondering, like, where he was. And then the second half started and he picked up the ball and he was like, hey, open. Boom.
He's still finding his feet.
But he's exciting, bro.
Yeah,
it's very exciting. I would give him that.
Oh,
And just the fact that even though this is something like we knocking him for, like, yo, where is Fabio? And then he'd just be like, boom, I'm here. You know, like, that kind of football is crazy, but because the thing about Tien is, like, where is he in moments? I feel like he still helps the attack and the movement of the ball well. Mm-hmm. It just isn't like how we are accustomed with Odegaard, where Odegaard carries the ball. A lot. Odegaard orchestrates the attack.
Yeah, but
Fabio orchestrating the attacking like that.
Fabio on a prowl always looking for the killer blow. That's what I describe him.
Yeah, so it's different types of players for sure. So it's kind of like we so accustomed that when the ball kind of comes to the tennis because he turning his back towards the defense, he looking for the runs, he making the pass. Whereas Fabio is the one looking to make the runs. Looking to deliver the killer strike. He not looking to
a lot more tempo and
to dictate the play and you know, he not doing those things. He looking to
get Fabio in positions where he could hurt teams, and guess what?
I wonder if he could slotty next to the party though. But that would be worrisome.
No, really, I wouldn't put him there. I thought about it, but I wouldn't put him there.
I was worried as like on the attacking side. I'd be in trouble, but defensively, that look like it would be catastrophic, bro. So, you know, I understand why he would not.
What he might have to do. He might have just let Odegaard drop back a little more. But then I don't want
Odegaard. But Odegaard, even when Odegaard dropping back, is like you just telling Odegaard, don't play football. You know what I mean? I feel like Odegaard playing deeper does look so. Yeah. Subdued because he carries the ball well in the final third.
Yeah.
But having to do the from the back to the final third thing, that is not Odegaard's strength at all.
That's how the most is uncovered most of the times, you know, Odegaard.
Odegaard?
Yeah, he must run around.
He's definitely run a lot, but I feel like he isn't. I feel like the bridge type player. Nah, yeah. he not there. He there for, okay, we in the attack, we looking for the pass. Yeah, definitely.
He's overpassed too, but I need to shoot more.
Yeah, but I mean, something about Arsenal and as number 10 that don't want to pass, but that don't want to shoot, say. You know what I mean? That's what we love. It's like.
Not Bergkamp
was a striker, you know what I mean? So, even Fabregas, like, it took Fabregas like a real long time for him to just shoot, you know what I mean? And when he started shooting, I was like, Barcelona, I was like, oof. Right, time to come home, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
but what do you think about the subpar Martinelli this game?
The subpar Martinelli? Well, remember, I didn't see much of the game.
Yeah, he was a little bit sluggish in this game, man.
Well, it's easy to look subpar and everybody playing well, you know? But I'm not worried about that in a sense with Martinelli. I feel like Arsenal at this point is a snooze you lose type team. You know what I mean? I think if he's gonna be subpar often, Emil and Fabio waiting to come in the team in a way, you know. And those are players that could play out on his side.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's most like Emil and Nelson, but Nelson injured.
Well, Nelson is injured.
Well, both of them injured, actually.
Well, Reese, don't do matter. don't do matter at all.
Reese was ahead of the pack, you know?
Huh?
Saka was at the bottom of the pack, you know? When all of them touched down, it was Reese was the best, then followed by Smith-Rowe, then followed by Saka, you know?
Right.
And then we look.
And what happened?
Saka overtake one of them.
No, Reese hit his ceiling, bro.
I don't feel so, boy.
If Reese in hit his ceiling, Reese were very near his ceiling. This look like the kind of player that could try and take the Ricky Puig route, dog. You know, and go MLS.
Saka, let's talk about Saka. 2 assists.
Oh, yes, boy. 2 assists. Finally doing something for somebody FPL side because it's not mine.
Saka, boy. So, I think for all the games he played so far for this season, Saka, I don't think he was influential enough for me. I feel Martinelli was doing a lot more. And this game where Martinelli had a little dip in form, we see Saka step up. And this is something that I like as well, where with one player off it, the other could be on it now. rather than in the past, if one man offered, the other say, okay, well, not me, I offer too.
Yeah. Saka, what I want to say is, we get to see what it looks like when you actually tell Saka to take a rest, in my opinion. And it isn't that much different in the way he plays, but I think it's much different in his decision making and his final ball and everything. Mm-hmm. Because if you're watching, you would think that is the same player just running, making the runs, making the passes. But yeah, when I think he is a player that when he's rested enough, he's a sharper player for certain. Yeah. And he shows that I think that he need to like look at Arteta and say, I love to play, you know, but sometimes I need to take a little rest. Yeah. So I could always play at my sharpest.
Yeah.
And we have the players now, we do have to run him into the ground.
To be fair, we do have a right wing. Except Fabio. Fabio's in the position.
We have Fabio. I mean, we have Marquinhos.
Oh, I forgot Marquinhos.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, yeah, you're going and take Saka out of the squad for Marquinhos. But, I mean, if we playing well and we comfortable on top, yeah, hook Saka, put in Marquinhos, let Marquinhos finish our game, let Fabio finish our game, you know, that kind of thing. Give the man a little opportunity to sit, because he doesn't, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I just want to say, I mean, I know we shout out Ethan at the beginning, but big shout out to Ethan by making that debut.
Yeah. What do you think about the header boss? Giroud-esque.
Gabby?
Yeah, Jesus scored
the header. That was amazing, bro. Did he keep up a hand on it, huh?
I can't remember, but
that was good.
Couldn't
that
keep
good.
It out of the back of the net.
To me, to that goal, like, Yes, Gabby, you have to head the ball, eh? But that was an insane ball, boy. Like, Gabby was in between two defenders, boy. Two bigger men.
Shaka Meshara.
That was perfection, boy. Like, I can't clung. I can't say
nothing. Your boy, Shaka Meshara.
Nah, don't say he's my boy. But Shaka play a ball that... Because when I saw it, I was like, kind of like, what he put at it? And then I was like, what he get on his head there? That's crazy, boy. That's like just that ball from Boland, boy. You know what I mean?
Ball from Boland.
Yeah, that was good. Well, Gabi Jesus doing Gabi Jesus things. I'm not surprised that he scored, to be honest with you.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Good stuff from the team all around. I feel like, you know, now that we win in games, it's harder to talk about the team.
Nah.
Because we can't, I mean, like, how to put it, but it's not harder to talk about the team. But, like, when we're looking at losses, it's like we could dissect our loss and, like, realize, like, you know, where we need to improve, where we need to see players improve. But, I mean, even players having a subpar game is like, it's just a one off. It feels like. Like, everybody playing to the best of their ability. And long may it continue.
It's the brand now. We're playing really good football. And I
we are playing. Excuse. Wow. We are playing some exceptional ball. I would say that. And, you know, for the people I'm probably still kind of secretly shouting Arteta out. You can't fight tactical quality, boy. And
just the process, dog.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, my biggest gripe with Arteta has always been if he doesn't have the players to play his brand, he struggles. But, I mean, yeah, the players to play his brand and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the upside. So, yeah, that's all I have to say. I believe that, you know, I think that even the backup players can still play the brand and play it well.
Yeah.
So, Arsenal is going to be a hard team to match up against week in, week out. But anyway, before we close it off, we have the international break coming up. And
going
then
in
we
the
have
top of the league.
We'll be going into the international break, top of the league. But when we back, It's in North London, Derby, boy. Tottenham, boy.
Them lot down the road. Son Squatrick, there, they?
Son Squatrick off the bench in like 13 minutes. Dog is like, everybody I take off my FPL just is like, yeah, cool.
I think he scored that three from outside the box, though.
But I don't even want to know, but I just feel sick, yes. That's how I felt. I felt sick. Sick. But, yeah, that game going on interesting. I mean, it's 7:30 in the morning for us. So it's kind of like make your day or ruin your day kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But I believe it's going to be a good game. And I think we have something for them from that last
North London derby. Last time we went in the
when we get slapped up. Woo-hoo. That Rob Holden red card. We have something for them. Gabriel with my mother and he said nice kick about to the boys. I feel we'll have a nice kick about again. I'm looking forward to that game for certain.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a big, big game because we only 1 point ahead of Tottenham. So this kind of would show, you know, the meat and the metal and all the other things you would say. So, and then after that, we have the Europa League game and we back against Liverpool. So we have two real tough games to come out of the international break from. But we will be back maybe after the Liverpool game. Maybe. It could be a little lengthy break because we had the international break. Yeah. And we can't really come back to talk about the international break. So, that making sense. So, I think we'll be back again after we play Liverpool. So, we're looking forward to it. And you have anything else you wanted to say?
Not a thing.
We just smooth sailing, just like Arsenal, smooth sailing on top of the table. We're comfortable. Yo, so we're going to leave it here for today. We're going to remind you all to make sure and like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. And this has been Gunapod TT. Boom!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gunapod TT.